I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
You hear that? That is my kettle. Pete Donaldson with you from the Football Ramble, talking about kettles. We're not here to talk about kettles. Shut up about them, you. Now, Houston, we have a problem. Not one that involves an exploding rocket, but certainly one that involves the Football Ramble. Now, there was a problem with the computer at the studio, what we use, and for some reason it wasn't recording my microphone, which meant the lads could hear what I was saying. I could hear what I was saying, because I know what I'm, you know, coming up my mouth, vibrations and that. But the computer muffed up, basically, and it only recorded Marcus's, Luke's, and that one who spots Arsenal's microphone. So, what I've done is, I've only spoken very sparingly during this podcast. So you'll hear me in the Newcastle chat, you'll hear me in the opening question, you'll hear a little bit after the music, just for the lols. But other than that, because you just can't hear me, I was forced to be on this show in a merely producery kind of role. So thank you for listening, and I'll be rounding up Pete's Mystery Voice Game next week. So if you're still puzzling over the identity of the man or indeed woman, you've still got a little bit of time. What I would say is, don't knock yourself out over it, because there's a canny few who have already got it terribly correct indeed. Anyway, here is the Football Ramble this week. Sans me, but plus the fantastic Ramblers. Actually, before we get to it, do you know that the actual phrase was, Houston, we've had a problem here. Not Houston, we have a problem. Social ammunition, mate. Social ammunition.
Meet the new boss, same as the old boss, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Luke's here.
All right.
And Jimmy's here.
All right.
Yeah. Everybody.
No,
it is now.
Yes.
Yay.
Oh,
I've
my goodness.
I've always wondered why they do those mic checks at the beginning of the shows.
Yeah. Mm.
Now
I thought we had about two or three of them there. Right. Brazil manager Dunga has banned players wearing caps, flip-flops and earrings while on international duty.
I'm amazed that that many Brazilian internationals are wearing flip-flops in the first place. It doesn't seem like a sort of footballer's choice of footwear.
Well, they all tend to wear them like going back from showers into dressing rooms and stuff, as Pete's reference. But I'd like to see them, if they're not going to wear flip-flops, perhaps those plastic old Veruca socks that you used to have to wear with talcum powder.
Yeah. That'd be good. Footballer's feet must be a state.
Yeah.
If you were an international manager, what would you ban from your camp, Jim?
I would ban any form of language. I would want my team to be like, but practically feral, just so they'd have to understand each other on a purely sort of footballing level.
They body language.
Yeah, absolutely. They would just have to know each other's game so well that they could effectively sort of use a sort of hive mind. Like they could grunt and stuff,
yeah,
and certainly use body language, as you say, but I wouldn't allow them to communicate as normal human beings.
I like that.
Interestingly enough, you don't. Cats apparently only meow to their owners and when they're very, very young to try and find their mother. They don't tend to meow to each other apart from in combat, and that is apparently because cats are so good at picking up body language, they can communicate everything they need to communicate just by that. They don't really need to meow.
I've also heard
you get Brazilian footballers to do that.
Yeah, I've also heard that dogs have basically evolved to bark to communicate with us rather than anything
similar
else.
Similar thing.
So, I mean, it could happen if these footballers are, you know, up for a bit of a sociological experiment.
If they work hard enough.
And imagine, you know, you're playing against that team, they're just grunting at each other. They're practically feral, as I said. It'd be terrifying.
It'd be like playing against a team of Tevezes.
It would.
Mm. Yeah. Indeed it would. He's back in the international setup.
Yeah.
More on that in a little while. Luke.
I thought I would look at it a little bit more obviously and go computer games, consoles.
Right, okay.
Because I don't really like the idea of players when they're winding down using computer game consoles and stuff. I just think
it's quite stressy, isn't it?
I think so. I think it can get you frustrated, it can get you a little bit angsty. I'd rather see them read a book or perhaps watch a nice documentary.
Well, what if they read something really stressful like War and Peace?
Don't read that. Well, ban that. Well,
that's going to test you, isn't it?
Give me another one.
I can't think of another book. Something by Enid Blyton.
Also banned.
Okay.
All right, Gove.
Hell, what's stressful about Enid Blyton?
People up, not me. I don't find this stressful.
No, but he was putting it forward for you to sort of accept or deny it.
Okay, Enid Blyton books are arguably quite racist.
James, yeah, fair enough.
What about... I don't know, James and the Giant Peach.
That's the sort of depth of your knowledge of literature has gone straight back to childhood.
What are you
books?
Talking about, Enid Blyton?
If James and the Giant Peach has been translated into Portuguese, it's fine.
Yeah. Mm.
It's in.
Yes. And if it hasn't, why the bloody hell hasn't it been?
Yeah, get on that.
Yeah, Pete.
I would ban drugs tests. Can you imagine how further the football skills could get if people could run really, really, really fast forever.
My goodness.
Like the Soviet Union back in the day.
Ooh. Yeah.
It's also a real allegedly test, isn't it? That when that news breaks, you know, you see from those players there thinking, does this mean that we're supposed to?
What do you say about the Soviet Union? But they didn't actually win anything.
No, yeah.
Or unless they won the Euros, maybe. Was that them? No, maybe that was you.
Dodgy ground.
But they never really won everything. Unlike that Italian side of the mid-90s and the Spanish, anyway.
I don't think the Soviet Union was smoking weed in the 50s.
Okay, well, mine's actually quite similar to Jim's. Plagiarist. No, Jim. I'll see. I would ban talking for the first 5 minutes of a match.
Right.
So just silence. Or the first 10 minutes, maybe, while the players are playing. Because I just think it might freak out the opposition slightly. So imagine if you were playing a team and there was just nothing. There was
it'd
just
be like
silence.
Playing a team of replicants. Like
exactly.
Artificial intelligence robots.
You would notice it. Mm. You'd be slightly freaked out. And then when it hits 10 minutes, I'd give the signal and everyone would just explode into noise.
No, when you after 10 minutes, you give a signal to start talking, then the big centre-back goes, "Where's the talking, eh?"
Better than that, I think, just in the tunnel. Because everyone starts saying hello to each other, just stony face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Keane would prefer that.
The whole
that.
Team in on it, just not saying a damn thing.
Yeah.
That would be incredible. Just getting your solace.
Or just humming.
Yeah. Doing the Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, in Wolf of Wall Street.
Or all doing the Coca-Cola Christmas advert. Holidays are coming, holidays are coming, holidays. But goals are coming, goals are going to come. And then Neymar goes, "'Tis the season." And everyone kicks into the life.
That would be great.
Yeah.
You can't deny that.
We can't be too far away from players like basically doing adverts within matches.
When they're playing, yeah. And I couldn't have done it without Pepsi, the choice of a new generation.
Other choices of new generations are available. Yeah. Jim's got the points.
Yeah.
Oh, I was on a hat-trick as well. I wasn't going to say anything because if I said something, you wouldn't give me it.
Really?
And you're still not giving me
That's
it.
That's not how I operate.
I think the points are picked in. Marcus knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, he does. Mm.
It's like wrestling.
Divvying up.
I've got all the points all planned.
The narrative's in his head.
Yeah. My mid-season stroll to victory will be put into place around January.
Like every year.
But it is a time of celebration, though, because today is Obafemi Martin's 30th birthday. 30.
There's nothing to add.
He's younger than all of us. Still going strong. Let's go to Das Premier League. We've got to start with West Ham 2, Manchester City 1.
Oh,
I'd like to start with
Big Sam?
With a tweet that Jonathan Wilson put out there straight after the game. He said, "There are cats sitting next to massive vats of cream looking less pleased than Sam Allardyce in this press conference."
Presumably that's because the cats know, through Sam's body language, as we've established, that cream is reserved to him.
Yeah. he's like a dog with 48 bits.
But it's fair enough, is it not?
He's proven Sam right, hasn't he?
I mean, the game against Liverpool, I know Liverpool aren't having a good time, but they were excellent. They have been excellent. And bearing in mind that the fans were having a go at him towards the end of last season, certainly, about his style of play and whatnot. And here he comes into this new season. It's mixed things up a little bit.
Superb signings.
Made some good signings.
Yeah, he deserves credit because not only has he made some good signings, they've probably done the best in the summer in terms of transfers, you'd have to say, for now at least. But he was under all sorts of pressure, wasn't he, for his job? People were talking about him losing his job all the time. And to be fair to Sam Allardyce, he got on with it. He knuckled down.
And to be fair to the West Ham board as well.
And the West Ham board asked him clearly, didn't they, to change his style. And he's done that. And he's still being successful. Yeah. I mean, of course, it's only October and they're not going to be the top four. But they're
nearly November.
They're going to do very well, aren't they?
Yeah.
You think they've really, I mean, you don't want to get complacent about it if you're a West Ham fan, but they're going to stay up now. No doubt about that.
The form they're in, they can aim for the Europa League and still have a really successful season if they fall short. It's a great situation for them to be in. It's the best situation they've been in for a long time. And I think we've neglected Sacco a bit on the show. Was it his seventh goal in a row?
If you include the league, the cup, I think it is.
In the league.
Club record, I think.
Mm. Yeah, in the league, he's got 6-6, which I think he equals Mick Quinn's record.
What I liked about West Ham's performance against City was that it was a confident performance. They were content, well, I'm not sure they could do too much about it, but they were fairly content to let Man City have the ball. I mean, they only had about 30% possession, West Ham, but they really made it count. Mm. And Man City, I mean, these sort of defensive errors between Mangala, who's not in great form, and Di Michele, who's obviously not being selected.
They targeted Mangala, didn't they?
They did. but Dean McAllister isn't in the team, presumably because he's not in great form. Joe Hart's having a patchy season. It's going to cost them the title. I mean, it's essentially, people are saying it's between Chelsea and Man City, but it's a one-horse race, really, because Man City cannot afford to do what they did against West Ham. Same way they did the same thing against at home to Stoke. They have what they tend to do, it looks to me like, they dominate possession, they dominate chances, but they don't make it count. They concede sloppy goals.
Yeah.
And if you're Chelsea, you concede three goals against Everton and then score six. That's fine. But Man City aren't going to score six at the moment. I mean, they scored four against Spurs, but you know, Spurs. Do you know what I mean?
Sounds like Alex Ferguson team talk.
The moment one of those sort of parts of the puzzle falls out, as in they don't take their chances, they don't turn that dominated possession into great chances, then take those chances, they look vulnerable.
Yeah. They're also strong in the middle. I would say stronger than City are as well. They just defend from the midfield.
Chelsea are the best team.
Of course, it's becoming embarrassingly clear very early on, isn't it?
Do you think that, you know, obviously City have got, sort of ambitions to be one of the best teams in Europe. Hmm. Do you think they can do that with Joe Hart and goal? Do you think he's consistent enough? I don't think he's consistent.
I don't think Joe Hart's the weak link.
No, I don't.
He's not the weak link, but he's certainly not one of the world's best keepers.
I'm surprised you're singling him out there.
Well, I was singling out Mangala and Di Michaelis as well.
Yeah. I think part of the problem has been that Mangala has not been the sort of steady influence they would have hoped for immediately. He's not brought the depth they were hoping for. But it's early days.
Well, you know, he started off last season quite poorly. Then he really came into his own and did well. And then this season he's been a bit patchy from what I've seen. Mm. And that's presumably why he's not being picked. Well, he wasn't picked for the West Ham game. But Mangala... When Pellegrini said when they signed Mangala, he's not ready for the Premier League yet. Then he chucked him in and he did okay. And then he started to do really
poorly. Well, perhaps Di Michaelis was a bit tired from the World Cup
maybe. That's
Mangala's come in and he thought, well, we'll give him a little bit of a run because they haven't had a terrible start. You know, they're still in the top four.
I'm surprised
you singled out Hart so much.
I personally don't think he's top level.
I'd say he's head and shoulders the best keeper at Manchester City.
He's pretty young though, isn't he, Hart? I mean, it's easy to forget that. As a goalkeeper, there's still a lot of time for him to sort of iron out little things in his game, and I think he can be their goalkeeper for a long time, even if they continue on their upward trajectory.
But Willie Caballero on the bench for Manchester City, he's a far better keeper than was it Pantilimon who came in for Hart last season or the season before last, whenever it was.
He's at Sunderland now, isn't he? Probably rubbing his gloves together with glee.
I think with the Man City thing, of course, they haven't conceded notably more goals than Chelsea. I think they've got one or two more than Chelsea, haven't they? Not a huge amount more, but I just don't think they look anywhere near solid.
I thought the problem was not taking the chances. Aguero missed a couple of chances.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
The one that came off the bar where you thought, my goodness, he normally puts them away. And of course, he will next week and the week after. We know that. But just
take it back to West Ham real quick. Mm. What will be interesting now for Allardyce and West Ham is that they've got a few decisions to make. Essentially, that Kevin Nolan's coming back. I mean, he came on for the last couple of minutes against City. He's coming back to fitness. And he's been a very big player for them. Mm-hmm. And Andy Carroll's coming back, who politically is a very big signing for them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What Allardyce is going to have to do is make a decision about whether he can get away with, because we know what the board's like there sometimes, whether he can get away with only introducing Carroll from the bench and not picking him, because it's working really well.
And
also not picking Nolan, who's a big personality and who has worked with Allardyce for a long time. It'd be a really interesting test of Allardyce's man management if he can crack on with the results and still Carroll as he's going and say to the players that are being picked at the moment, you've earned this.
That's right.
And not draft Nolan straight in there.
Yeah. You're right. But if you look at it, the players have got going forward. Downing's had a great season so far. Obviously, Saka's been brilliant.
He's been injured now, hasn't he, Saka?
Well, Saka looks like he might be out for a month, so maybe.
And Valencia, though, has done very well. I mean, he had a great World Cup. Yeah. And I was surprised that West Ham got him without any disrespect to them. I thought a bigger club might come in for
Song.
That's the one of the signings of the summer. It's absolutely incredible that. I mean, Song is a very, very good player. He has a tendency to maybe hang on to the ball for a bit too long, but he's damn good at just winning it back immediately. Yeah. One thing that I found interesting about the way West Ham played from what I saw of it was they seemed to very deliberately defend very deep, which obviously makes it harder for City to get in behind them, and then they don't really know what to do.
David Silva conjured up a lovely one, didn't he?
Yeah, that was a lovely goal.
But it wasn't enough.
Yeah, I was just going to say, with Enner Valencia, who played well, and Alex Song, who again played well, is a well sort of respected player, and you were surprised surprised maybe that both those signed for West Ham with respect to West Ham. I wonder with the Alex Song thing if there's a slight chance he thought, I'll get in the shot window again here, playing
maybe
back in the Premier League.
Possibly.
And that would be my way into playing for maybe a Champions League club, because he came from Barcelona and obviously he was great at Arsenal. So, but it's obviously going a lot better than maybe he expected, and maybe he'll stick around, because David Gold actually said today there's a chance that they're talking about getting Song permanently.
Wow. Well, but West Ham want to expand, don't they? I mean,
the club does. To a new ground.
But they're moving to a new ground.
They have a big support, West Ham.
Yes. Yeah, they do. Yeah. Absolutely they do.
Are we starting to see the West Ham way?
Yeah.
Are we finally seeing it?
Maybe we're creating the West Ham Ray right now, Jim.
West Ham Ray, there's tons of them.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Argentina might be playing Croatia in a friendly soon at Upton Park.
That'll be fun.
Tevez has been brought back into the Argentina set-up for the first time in 3 years under new coach Gerardo Martino. So might be seeing Tevez.
I think his goals have dried up recently, for Juventus, but he's certainly scored a few this season.
He's doing very, very well for them. Very, very well. Well done, West Ham. My goodness. On the march. Chelsea did drop points at Manchester United.
It did.
Drogba scoring a Champions League final-esque goal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible, isn't it, that man? Who would have thought he'd be back after going off to China, that one day he would score again at Old Trafford?
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot's happened since then.
Scored in the Champions League as well, didn't he?
For Galatasaray.
No, recently.
Penalty, that's right.
Big goals from Drogba.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Well, I mean, that was in a 6-0 win.
It's the Champions League.
And Mourinho was very unhappy that he took the penalty off Hazard, I think. But yes, I take your point.
It's a good job that the United got Rafael to mark Drogba for that.
That was funny, wasn't it? Because Fellaini was marking him on every other corner, it would seem. Yeah. And Fellaini had a good game. Flicking 1-2s all over the pitch. Like he's looking like the player that we expected him to be when he signed. But obviously, he's just completely... something's happened there, isn't it? Where there's either been a mix-up or Fellaini's disregarded who he's supposed to be marking, and it's cost them massively.
It just wouldn't happen. I just can't imagine that happening at any level.
But it's such a basic thing. I mean, can you imagine on a Sunday morning?
That's what I was
you
thinking.
Just pick up height for height normally.
Yeah.
How on earth has that played? That is just mind-boggling.
He got absolutely nowhere near him either. He could have been tight. I mean, Rafael could have done better, but there's nothing he could have done about the header, because Drogba's got so much height on him and got up to the ball first.
It's so strange.
Van Persie should have done better on the line.
Van Persie got a touch on it, so... Own goal?
At that point, Van Persie would have done anything for a goal. He had to score for a while, then obviously he popped up at the end. But I thought United showed a lot of improvement. They had more possession than Chelsea.
Oh, excuse me. There we are. I'm getting excited.
Yeah, hang that phone up.
Being the Manchester United fan that I am.
They had more possession than Chelsea. They had more chances.
To be fair, though, Mourinho in particular, he is happy to let teams have possession if he knows what they're going to do with it.
I was going to say that although United still look shaky at the back, and they do lack a bit of confidence, I think, obviously going forward they're going to be a threat because of the players they've signed. But I don't know if they... I know what you're saying about Mourinho and Chelsea, but I don't know if United maybe a month or two ago would have had the confidence to take a game Chelsea like that.
No.
And they kept fighting right to the very end as well, which is
really
important.
And the crowds were up for it as well in a normal Old Trafford style way.
I mean, I may be forgetting a really obvious result here, but it feels to me like it's been a while since they got a very late, typically United goal. That's something that seems to have gone out of their game, and a real sign of the sort of the decline, I suppose, that they're still in.
I can back that up, because I think I'm right in saying until they scored a late equaliser against West Brom, they hadn't scored a goal in the last 15 minutes all season.
Right.
So now it's come twice in two games, I think. So they've had fighting draws recently, which is very encouraging. And it may just be a case of, as Van Gaal said when he came into the job, it may just be a case of the United players now taking on Van Gaal's methods, his information, the way they want him to play. Of course, he knows, I think, that he's short of decent quality experience personnel at the back. I don't think Rocco looks much of a player, although he is improving slightly. They've obviously had injury problems there as well. So that aside, they'll start to improve, especially going forward. But I wonder as well, and I think I might have said this a week or two ago, whether United will relish those bigger games in the Premier League rather than those games. I mean, because, you know, you're under the pressure. We've seen it before in the Premier League. You're under pressure. You're a big team. You play West Brom at home, who are improving themselves at the time. And you think, God, this is the last thing we need. You know, a big game, we can really get up for it, like a Chelsea. Might maybe suits them a bit better, and they've done really well to battle back into that game. And just finally, a lot of people were criticising United for celebrating so passionately when they scored.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's a huge game for them. It's a huge point.
They've snatched a point from the jaws of defeat.
Okay, so that might feel like more of a victory now than it would have done, say, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's not 3 or 4 years ago. The circumstances are thus, and that was really a good point for them.
It's just the nature of Twitter and stuff like that, though, isn't it? It's just any stick to beat them with is picked up.
What about that De Gea save from Hazard?
That was nice.
A beauty, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, in a way, it's a shame for De Gea that it led to the goal, but it was a great bit of skill from Hazard.
How frustrating would that have been for De Gea, though, to make that save?
Yeah. It certainly made everyone realise how much he's improved.
Well, the Joe Hart thing, I mean, it really Manchester City's ambitions every season are to win the Premier League, and they haven't got a top three keeper in the Premier League. There's no way he's better than Courtois, De Gea, or Lloris. Not for my money. So, I mean,
I think he's that far off, though, on his day.
I don't think his day comes often enough.
Hopefully it will for them.
Yeah. Well,
Terry and Ivanovic, they should have had a double penalty, shouldn't they?
Yeah. It's a penalty. It's a ridiculous penalty.
I mean, should that be a new rule, maybe? If you're 2 fouls in the box, you get 2 pens.
But what happened to Shawcross the week before? You know, there was no Shawcross's assault in quotes was nowhere near as bad as the one on Ivanovic.
Yeah, but
Shawcross made that point himself, didn't he? And was proven right, despite the fact that was still definitely a penalty.
Just quickly, 2 fouls, 2 pens.
I think 2 players have to take it at once.
Yes,
both got to strike the ball at the same time.
They do their legs together like a 3-legged race.
Yeah. And the goalkeeper's like got an eye patch on; he can still see, but just one eye.
Yeah, right.
That's nice.
In future, I like that. Don't come to me.
Introduce a severity scale for the penalty. So it's a massive takedown. Yeah, you get. Like the keeper has to wear like an eye patch, has to have one arm
and a boxing glove.
Yeah, if it's just like a really, really soft handball, it's just a normal penalty.
Yeah, if it's a CM given, it's renamed a novelty and some sort of forfeit applies.
CM given. Yeah, I like that. I'd bloody like that. Ivanovic, harshly sent off.
He had a very unfair day, didn't he, Ivanovic?
I mean, he got booked for dissent. Well,
yeah, I mean, that's his own fault.
No pun intended, you know, but you can't argue with that. but the second one is one of those frustrating ones where it's just it's a clash of legs, isn't it? Or whatever you'd call it. It's he's not meant to bring him down, of course.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he can consider himself very hard done by, given that he should have had a penalty as well and didn't get that.
Do you think that'll be rescinded?
I don't know. I don't think so, no. I don't think they'll do that because it sort of tends to undermine the fabric of what the referees do, and if they tend to not overturn them, don't they?
Everton, they beat Burnley 3-1. It's so funny, isn't it, how... we're very lucky with the Premier League. You've got loads of great players and so on and so forth. And I just... Oh, yeah, Samuel Eto'o.
Yeah.
I forgot he's here. Mm. Brilliant. Both of his goals were fantastic.
He was very good.
He was so nearly had the perfect hat-trick. Mm.
Which is incredible for a player that's so much older than Obafemi Martins.
What is he, 3 years older? According to...
Mourinho thinks he might be a bit older than that.
Well, yeah. But his first goal was a lovely one. Lovely move, and the way he got on the end of it was
brilliant.
Brilliant. Absolutely perfect.
I thought Everton have shown signs of great improvement over recent weeks. I mean, I like the way Martin has managed his squad against Lille. He rested players where he needed to, and they've got players coming back now, like Coleman, who's important for them, and Lukaku, of course. Burnley are really fearful. I mean, they can't seem to... I mean, because when you saw them about 4 or 5 games ago where they weren't conceding, they had that sort of 3-0-0s in a row.
You're getting
drawn. You thought, okay, fine, there's something to build on there. When Danny Ings gets back, he'll sniff out a goal, as he did against Everton, took it really well.
Brilliantly.
Yeah, because he fired the goals to get him up there and he deserves it. Him and Vokes deserve a chance, but I don't think on their own they're going to be enough. And Burnley, to me, look completely adrift now.
The bottom with just 4 points, and there's talk about, are they going to... score less than 11 points, which was Derby's unwanted record.
Didn't they only spend about £7 million in the summer?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, something it's, like. They've spent such little money. I mean, even when they went up, wasn't it only 400,000 or something they spent?
Well, I think I'm right in saying they were certainly among the favourites for relegation that season, and they got promoted.
I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, so they've done a great job. And I understand Dyche's point of view about keeping the players there who've earned the right to be there. You don't want to completely change the tide, of course.
No, of course.
But you have got to add a bit of quality, haven't you, and a bit of experience. And I don't think they've done that.
They don't have the budget, though.
Of course, yeah. They can't bankrupt themselves on a gamble, can they?
I don't know whether you could properly... I don't know whether clubs have done this in the past where you take all the Sky money that you get and you basically invoke clauses into people's contracts and let if we get relegated, you're out of it. And see if you can sign players that way. Maybe players and agents aren't keen to do that, but I mean, it seems to be the only way of doing it. Because if you look what's happened to Blackpool, we'll come to them in a minute, I'm sure. They completely took the money. The Oystons there are just an absolute joke.
Yeah.
And they took the money, and now they're really struggling.
Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe Burnley want to keep a bit of money in the bank and say, look, we're this size of club, maybe we'll have another go at it next season.
Quite possibly. Now Burnley are bottom because Newcastle aren't.
another win.
Another little messiah popping up.
Well, how's that about beautiful. That, Peter?
You were lauding Sammy Amiobi last week.
You said he'd be the next saviour for Pardew, and what a finish.
For a guy
who hasn't played that much of late, wonderful finish, but, I mean, took it so well. Great run.
I think the Ramble team could beat Spurs, or at least score a couple past Spurs this season.
Do you think?
On our day, Pochettino seemed to fatten during the duration of the game.
On our day, we could beat Spurs, because but sometimes Spurs, like, they just cannot be bothered.
Yeah.
So I think that we probably would have a chance if we were really on our 100% game.
If we played Spurs in the Europa League, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah, we'd get hammered. Yeah.
They are so Spursy this season. Yeah. They're always like that, aren't they? They always lose the stupid games that they should win. But this season in particular, they seem to be like almost a kind of spoof of themselves at times.
I think Daniel Levy has got the team he deserves. He fucking deserves it, Daniel Levy. He can't hold his nerve. He can't stick to a plan. He got rid of Redknapp when they were doing okay. I understand.
Okay,
that.
He got them to the Champions League twice, or top four finishes twice at least.
And fine. Okay, so he got rid of Redknapp when Redknapp was doing well, and he said what we want to do is we want to move on a level, we want to go AVB. Then he put his, as far as I'm concerned, it's easy for me to say, Levy put his reputation on AVB, and it didn't work out. Mm. He fired him. He should have gone. If AVB went as well, he should have gone as well. Said, look, I've got this wrong. What happens is when you replace a manager so often. Look what Liverpool did with Rodgers. Rodgers came seventh from Liverpool. They stuck with him.
Absolutely.
And last season they almost won the title. I'm not suggesting they're completely linked, but you've got to have some sort of stability there. And Levy cannot moan when he gets a manager in every other season or whatever it is, and they have to rebuild a whole new team every time. It's exactly what they deserve, Spurs, with that guy in charge. He also has got a terrible reputation for not getting the managers players they want. The managers go and get the players, tell them to go get the players. Like, AVB did it with Moutinho. Didn't know that Moutinho. Didn't get him.
He never
gets the players the manager's asking for. He always tries to do a deal. He's always trying to get a bargain, and it never works out.
The problem with getting all these players, and then you get a new manager, and but he hasn't got the players he wants. So you get some of the players he wants, and then he leaves, and then someone else. It's just a never-ending revolving door.
What I'm saying is, even when he's backing the manager, like when he first brought in Andre Villas-Boas, as if reports are to be believed, Andre Villas-Boas went to him and said, "These are the players I need," and Levy got like none of them. He got like a load of players that he didn't even ask for.
But that constant turmoil makes it harder to hang on to a Bale or a Modric or even a Berbatov or a Carrick, if you want to go back a bit further, because these players know that in a season's time, or maybe even less than that, the landscape could be just completely different.
Like, there's no consistency.
Lamella and Eriksen will probably be the sort of, you know, future examples of that. Because obviously Lamella didn't have a great season last time, but we're now seeing what a player he was and what he sort of promised to be. But I mean, if they start to do really well, then they're just easy pickings for bigger clubs with more stability. Because Spurs are backed to the hilt. They have a sort of billionaire owner on the quiet. And if they manage themselves better, then I don't know, they could be more consistent.
But it does seem that Levy is getting in the way of it. If, you know, what you were saying there, Luke, maybe there's other things. But if you take it when Redknapp was in charge, you know, for all the comments made about Redknapp, you know, he did the right job there. I mean, as you say, Jim, two top four finishes. If it wasn't for that Drogba goal, they'd have got in the Champions League again. And Redknapp clearly wanted the England job. Now, 20...
Bad timing for them, that.
Yeah, well, 20 years ago, or whenever it would have been, the chairman would have understood the manager just saying, look, I want to hold out and see the England job. And he'd have said, well, fair enough, that's probably the pinnacle of your career. And Levy offered him a new contract, I think it was, and Redknapp said, well, I just want to sort of hang on here. Now, you know, we've all talked about what Redknapp and blah, blah, blah. But clearly Levy's pride got in the way and thought, no, sod you. I want you're either this club or nothing. And then he's changed it up, and then obviously AVB often falls out with people, and then the
Sherwood, there's talk that AVB actually wanted to go by that point. But the whole thing is...
Was he undermined by Sherwood? I mean, there's all sorts of stuff going on there. But yes, the chairman seems to need to sort out his act a little bit.
I think so.
Yeah, well, I think we're all agreed.
It was
a good result for Newcastle. It's odd. I mean, I thought to myself, oh, where are they in the league? It's like 7 points. I was like, oh, yeah, the last two wins have been extremely important.
Yeah.
Bloody Nora. Little mention for Spurs on their Europa League shenanigans.
Oh, yeah, that was an amazing game.
The Rabona.
What a goal that was.
Oh, my.
Poor old Harry Kane. So he gets a hat-trick and then gets put in goal and has that ridiculous, concedes that stupid one. There's something inherently slapstick about Harry Kane.
I quite like him.
I do.
I like that he's gone in there and given it a go. And
yeah, absolutely.
He's having a laugh about it after. He doesn't care. He scored a hat trick.
I just love the thought of the free kick takers just thinking, just get it on target.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, Harry Kane's a professional footballer. He should have just gone for that with his foot.
Yeah.
He was tame. Yeah. It's almost like in his own brain, he was like, well, I'm a keeper now. Got to go on my hands.
Yeah.
Just boot it away.
Yeah. I reckon he's probably played down the park a number of times with his mates and one of those guys who often goes in goal. And he probably thought, I'll show him.
Yeah.
And he was like, ah,
show me.
Yeah, have you ever scored a hat-trick in the Europa League? Never let one in, though, have I?
I like the idea of an outfield player going and going not being that good. I'm fed up with Jagielka and that lot. Yeah. Like, not
you know what?
Good.
How often have we seen evidence of Jagielka being good in goal? We hear about it a lot, but you don't really see it.
I remember Vinnie Jones going in goal for Wimbledon away to Newcastle. I think they got beat 6-1. But he was saving them with his feet. He didn't do too bad. I mean, I think
De Gea's very good with his feet. It's a handy thing to have.
Exactly. I would say a necessity, Jim.
Indeed.
But Harry Kane's stock in trade is feet-based. That's what I'm saying.
It's what he's known for.
Yeah.
It's what he's known for.
I mean, he could have like ducked down and tried to head it away.
Yeah. He could have done anything.
Yeah, just not what he did.
What we've learned from this is that Harry Kane's hands are his least effective body part.
Yeah. Swansea beat Leicester 2-0. Bonnie with a double. Him and Sigurdsson having a lovely time. Mm. Linking very well. Nice moves for Swansea. Swansea are back.
Were they
ever away?
Well, they started off very well and they lost a load of games in a row, so yeah. I don't know if they lost
and then Gary Monk went mental and it seemed to sort everything out.
It's like an Indian Swansea. Well, Indian summer, if
they certainly didn't win for a while, anyway. Yeah. And now they've bounced back against Leicester. Nigel Pearson was having a turn, wasn't he? What was he talking about?
Oh, my goalpost thing.
Yeah, the game was nearly delayed because Pearson complained about the measurements of the goalposts. And Mike Jones, the referee, had to get the stepladder out and measure the posts to make sure they were fine, which they were.
Yeah,
I've never heard of that before. He was walking along and he was like, about the measurements of those goalposts. You're thinking, I reckon they're probably the same ones they use every week.
I think what's happened is the first time Nigel Pearson's been back to Swansea since he was about 10, and the goal looked massive then. And now he's like, that's really small. You should that can't be right. No, you've grown. The goal hasn't grown.
Yeah. Or maybe he's so committed to watching the game from above, he doesn't normally go down on the pitch, and the same thing happened. He's gone down and he's like, no, these are too big.
Well, by Luke's rationale, it must happen every week, every other week when they go away. This time it got reported.
Yeah. Nigel, you've grown. Goals have not shrunk. Goals are not getting smaller.
Unless he listened to this podcast, which he definitely would have done, because he's a bloody bloke, and he heard about his, us talking about him being a hard man. He thought, right, I'm going to throw my weight around. Yeah. Measure the goalpost.
No one will question me.
Get your stepladder.
I'd beat up a pack of dogs. It'd take you in a heartbeat.
But the Swans are up to sixth, Jim.
Yeah, brilliant.
I think that Mike Jones
bobbing along.
Was it referee Mike Jones?
Yes.
I think I've asked him, I just gone, oh, Nigel, this is a really busy day for me today.
Yeah.
I've got loads going on.
I've got so much running to do later. Yeah. I could do without being up and down a stepladder.
Well, if this isn't a fourth official job, I don't know what is.
Oh, my goodness. Jonjo Shelvey nearly scored another long ranger. I'm enjoying Jonj.
England's Jonjo Shelvey.
Tell you what, Luke, could he play in that defensive pivot? For England, do you think?
I mean, there's not really many candidates
around.
Could
he? He's not a classic sort of defensive midfielder in the mould of...
What, would you like to see him in there with little Geordie Henderson?
Well, little Geordie. If we want to play a 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
But if we're playing the diamond, maybe not. I mean, we're so fluid, ladies and gentlemen.
But we could play him there and just have him shoot from distance every time he gets the ball.
I mean,
law of averages, he's going to get a few.
Where do I vote yes?
Do we have positions at England level? It's quite fluid. Yeah, like total football type vibe, isn't it?
Liquid football.
Yeah.
Everybody knows... / doesn't know what they're doing.
I said a few weeks ago that I thought that Jack Wilshere's future might be in that position, but you guys didn't necessarily agree. But I'll still put that out there.
I'd rather Jonge.
I think for England he might be played there and might do well there, but I don't think that will be his.
Fine.
There was another 2-0 win in the Premier League. It was QPR 2 Aston Villa 0. A Charlie Austin double.
Yeah, great goals as well. I like Charlie Austin a lot.
We do, don't we? And linked well with Zamora, Luke.
Yes, he did. As I've bored you all with before, I watched him play quite a few times for Swindon when I used to go down there a bit, and he's not found his level yet. He's not found a level beyond him yet. He's doing the same things, making those classic forward runs. Like, I mean, I don't want to get on the back of Balotelli compared to this, but you know, I think Jamie Carragher brought it up. Balotelli makes those runs, but when he makes those near post runs, he tries to back heel it in and stuff. All you've got to do is guide it across the keeper. So difficult to defend against because you're always going to have a run on the defender. You're not going to be as fast as him because he's already at a full pelt. And he's going to nip in front, and all he needs is that ball into the near post. And more often than not, he'll finish it. Him and Nam Zamora, with a mix-up of Vargas as well, who looks like he's going to fight a goal, they could keep him up, because I was really impressed with the way that Redknapp set QPR up against Villa. He knew they were a counter-attacking team. Mm. He knew that because QPR are at home, Villa would be expecting them to come onto them, and then Villa would plan to hit him on the break, because Villa didn't really have much creativity because they've got no Delph at the moment. So QPR, under Redknapp, just said, right, you can have it. Have the ball. Have it. We're happy if you'd had the ball because you can't do anything with it. And then they hit them on the break with that direct ball up to Zamora, and Austin just feeds up off that, and it worked really well for them. And I think actually if they can keep it a bit tighter and keep Barton in there playing well in the middle with maybe one or two others, I think with the goals that Austin and Zamora, if they can keep Zamora fit, can get them, I reckon they might just about squeeze out of relegation.
And bring in Terat again if he's fit.
Let me bring this into stark focus. Leeds and Watford have had five managers between them since Aston Villa last scored a goal.
I mean, that could be...
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say. That could have been last week.
Game, yeah.
Villa have lost five games in a row without scoring a goal.
So Charlie Austin's still pretty young, isn't he? England future?
Well, I mean, it was talked about in the post-match interview yesterday, and he needs to get a few more goals yet. But, I mean, this is the thing. For players like Austin, he looks at the England players ahead of him and thinks, wow, do you know what? So what? Do you know what I mean? Sturridge and Rooney aside...
Well, Welbeck's in there.
Yeah, but I mean...
I think he can challenge Welbeck.
Yeah, of course. Of course, why not?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
Lambert and Keane have their work cut out for them, certainly. And, mentioning Roy Keane.
Oh, yeah.
I was at Lords on Saturday. Right. I was presenting a Q&A with the Blizzard chaps, all right?
You're proper football mates.
You said it, brother.
the ones who take football really seriously. Oh, you're pathetic, Speller.
But before us, our warm-up act was Roy Keane. And he was talking about his book, of course.
Is he short?
Is he intimidating?
The trouble is I was sat front row. Mm.
I think he says in his book that he's 5'8" and a half.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think.
But anyway, Roy Keane. Before I arrived, he was in the green room.
Was Mick McCarthy in there?
I'm afraid not. Mm.
Just bits of him.
But the other chaps were, so Jonathan Wilson, Philippe Auclair and Miguel Delaney were in there, and they said that they were watching the Classic and they came in and Roy was sat there watching the game.
I'd love to watch a game, Roy Keane.
Clutching the remote control.
Oh, yeah.
And it was in injury time, and obviously it was 3-1 to Real Madrid, so it was going to be fine and dandy, and they hadn't seen the goals, of course, just hadn't been walking in. Didn't see the whole game, and you know the game's ending, you wait for the final whistle, you wait maybe for a bit of post match. Keane in injury time changes the channel,
right?
Yeah, he just had enough of it. Nobody said a word.
Yeah,
he didn't even turn around as if to say, "Is that all right?" Or no. He's in charge.
Yeah. I'd like to think I would have said something, but I wouldn't.
Oh, no. But he...
good job Jose Mourinho wasn't there.
Oh, my goodness.
He'd be all over that.
But his talk was great, actually. He's much more witty, funny and self-aware, as you've often said about self-awareness, than you might think.
Mm. I completely agree.
Yeah, very, very good. He did actually make a lot of people laugh when, obviously, there was a bit of a Q&A session there and some people asked him about Ferguson. But in his book, he does talk highly of Ferguson at some bits. Yeah. And obviously said he had his... He said, look, I had my greatest years under Ferguson, you know, so it's not all one way thinking there. And then someone asked him and said, is there anybody who, you know, if you saw them, you know, would it still be a bit awkward would you be still a little bit distant with them or whatever it may be? And he said, well, you know, there was that player, but it's on the field. Da, 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 da. And then someone went, what about Alan Shearer? And he went, yeah, not having that. Not Alan Shearer. He was genuinely like, Shearer, nah.
Did you see what he said?
But he did say, but I wish he'd played for Manchester United, though.
Did you hear what he said a while back when they were talking? He was talking about young players getting in trouble and stuff. And because everyone's got camera phones and stuff now.
Yeah.
And he said, can you imagine what would happen if people had camera phones in my time? I'd be doing time.
Yeah. That's it. He's got a lovely turn of phrase. And he said, what, just one more, he said about Damien, what's his name?
I don't know.
Who was Duff. He had him at Ipswich.
Delaney.
Was it Delaney? Possibly. And he had him at Ipswich and he took a bit of criticism in the book and whatnot. And he said, but like, I like the guy. And he just said, I wasn't abusing him every time he got out of his car. You know? I just really liked that.
That makes you think that like, he actually thought about doing that.
Every time he pulls up in his car, Keane's there jabbing him.
Yeah. I have people to do that for me.
Oh, should we talk about
they're wearing Roy Keane masks.
Championship, Jim.
All right.
Birmingham 0, Bournemouth 8.
Yeah.
Woo.
Wow.
Birmingham will be disappointed with that.
2-8 nils in a week.
Mm. Birmingham won 1 in 25 home games.
Dan Gosling came on as a sub for Bournemouth in that game. Yeah. I had no idea he was there.
Is that right?
Mm. Eddie Howe's having a lovely old time, isn't he?
Gary Rowett is romping. The new former... he was the former Burton Albion boss. He's now the new man in charge of Birmingham. Yes, they've won...
In that case, he's still the former Burton
remains
Albion
the
boss.
Former.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm pleased for Rowett. He's earned his chance. I mean, Burton were unlucky last season. They're doing well this season.
Yeah, nearly got promoted.
He deserves a chance. Well, it's whether he can do a job or whether anyone can do a successful job under the current ownership of Birmingham. That's the problem.
Well, again, you talk about ownerships. There's another one. Birmingham have won one match in the last 10.
I think they've won one in the last 25 home games. I'm pretty sure that's right.
Yeah, it's provable.
Crazy.
Listeners, get to work. Leeds lost to home to Wolves 2-1. Neil Redfern looks set to be the new Leeds manager as Darko Milanic was sacked on the weekend.
In many ways, Neil Redfern is better off just staying in the background.
Yeah.
Because as soon as he gets the job officially, he's going to be fired.
That's right.
Yeah. It's really, really weird. Credit to Wolves. Somebody tweeted us about this. Like, I mean, they had a terrible old time, but they're level on points at the top in the Championship now.
They are, yeah. Well, this is their first season back in the Championship.
Yes.
They were promoted last season. Milanic, no wins in six matches.
He was quite sanguine about it, Milanic. He was like, yeah, well, I knew the job when I took it. I knew what the chairman was like, and fair enough.
Yeah, we can't argue with that, can we?
Yeah.
Leeds, they're only 5 points above the relegation zone, but only 10 points off the top spot.
That's the beauty of the Championship.
Yeah, it is the beauty.
Every year.
Yeah. Reading beat Blackpool 3-0. Jose Riga's been sacked. They've won just one match in 16 this season. Poor old Blackpool.
This is what I mean about the owners of Blackpool. Wow, so what? You let your manager start the season with only six professional football players, and now he's not getting any results, so you fired him.
Yeah.
Whose fault can that be?
I mean, all joking aside, it really is bad at Blackpool. I mean, it's disgraceful.
More needs
and
to be made of
those
it, yeah.
fans have been really put through the ringer there. Do you know what I mean?
They've been at the club's been essentially asset strips. The
thing is, maybe they'll give Milanic a week.
Yeah, he's in the area anyway. It's not that far.
We were talking about temp managers recently, and maybe they'll start it.
Yeah. Ah, we feel for you, Blackpool.
It could be
fans.
Literally
really
America round.
Nottingham Forest lost again. There's the smile.
Well, the prediction marches
wide,
on.
Smile
don't
on
say
face.
Smile, because I've got no beef at all with Nottingham Forest. They're an amazing club.
It's a wry smile.
Full of history. But Stuart Pearce is not good enough at this level of football to be a manager. He's not good enough. And I mean, there's talk of him trying to sign Tom Ince on loan.
Yeah.
Oh, come and sign for me. I'm the guy who racially abused your dad in the 90s. Do you know what I mean? Is that going to work? I mean, is Tom Ince going to go for that? You know, anyway, Stuart Pearce is not going to be good enough to get that team out of the Championship. I'll tell you what the problem they may have is that because he's such a legend there, they may not fire him quick enough. Because it happened with Portsmouth, with Guy Whittingham. He's a legend at Portsmouth. He was doing quite a poor job. And Portsmouth were very reluctant to fire him because they thanked him for everything he'd done in the past. And it could be the same with Pearce. I'm not suggesting to sack Pearce now because obviously they're doing okay. But they've dropped
you've
right
made
down to 7th
prediction.
Already. March.
So will March be just too long or just in time?
Well, we'll see, won't we?
March will be about right, in my opinion. I didn't say, anyway, by the way, I didn't say he'd be fired, so he'd be gone by March. So it may well be his own decision. Tune in more next week for a bit more clairvoyancy from me. You wait to hear what I've got to say about Newcastle.
Mr. Chance.
More Stradamus strikes again.
There you are.
Saying.
There it is. Let's go to your favourite league and mine, the Scottish Championship.
What's all going on?
Doesn't it, Jas? It never disappoints. Hibernian 1, Heart of Midlothian 1. The Hearts remain unbeaten this season in the league. I'm pretty sure that's right. I didn't check
the level of care that's put into it.
I tell you what, right? Hearts, the Hibs went 1-0 up, and it was looking bleak for the Hearts, and then went down to 10 men. Rightly so, that was a horrendous tackle.
Yeah.
And it's in injury time. Hearts are just trying to sort of throw men forward, but they're not really getting any breaks. And Elian Mostook, the centre-back, who hasn't scored for Hearts, centre-back, gets the ball, I don't know, 70 yards out, was it, at least? And thinks, I know, I'll smash one in off the bar from
it
here.
It was more of a larrup,
my giddy aunt.
If you get your checklist up of things that you want from a goal, Derby, last-minute imagery time, off the bar.
Defender.
Yeah, defender.
I mean, his first goal for the club.
Yeah.
Lovely old job.
Don't bother trying anymore.
Is that a message to Hibs in general?
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
you
comment.
Said it, Luke.
No comment.
Not me. Not me. So, yes. Right. Now let's go to the Scotland of the South. It's La Liga. Real Madrid 3, Barcelona 1.
Mm.
Luis Suarez made his debut. Lots of people saying that it was a conspiracy, but he was banned up until that particular day. Then he was...
I felt he lacked bite.
He couldn't quite get his teeth into the derby, could he, Jim?
People saying that it was a conspiracy that he was conveniently came back just before that game.
Didn't matter, though, did it?
But as one or two others pointed out, would it not have been better, actually, if we're talking about conspiracy and all that kind of crap, that if he, you know, there's already a big hoo-ha around Real Madrid versus Barcelona, as there always is. Actually, it would have made more sense if you were going to rig it that he would come back in a smaller game, so there would be more of
it. Well, I just don't think there was a conspiracy.
Do you not?
No.
All right, well, we'll drop that chat. Yeah. Neymar opened the scoring.
Luis Suarez assisted him, didn't he?
Yeah. It was so easy, that goal from Neymar.
Didn't get near him, did they?
No.
Just did not push up on him at all.
On the edge of the box.
Yeah,
it was
crazy.
Really, really strange.
Neymar's good at finding those weird little pockets of space, though, where he seems to take people by surprise by suddenly finding a bit of it.
But Jim, by little pocket, do you mean sort of half the penalty area? Because that is quite a big pocket.
I know, but like generally that's true of Neymar, and he does, I don't know, he's just very good at sniffing out space, and a lot of the time it opens up for him.
I was just so surprised watching it. He'd cut inside on his right foot and just slotted it in the corner, and it was so
strong. The match report I read said that it was almost like each team was content for the other team to have a go, finish their move. And, and so it did very much feel like that.
Messi missed a good chance.
He did, didn't he? And he blazed one over late on, which the Real fans loved.
And if you look at Xavi, Iniesta, for sure, their best years are behind them now. For sure. I'm not saying they're bad players.
Iniesta as well, would you say?
Isco years are
really
behind them.
Mugged him off, didn't he, in the build up to Benzema's goal, which was the goal of the game. It was such a beautiful bit of counter attacking link up play between them. And
Benzema could have had more as well.
True. I mean, we have to remember, though, that it is Luis Enrique's first season in charge, and obviously Ancelotti's had that. Real Madrid are bloody excellent.
And it's the first league goals Barcelona have conceded this season as well.
That is amazing.
It's very different. You've got to tiptoe around talking about, you know, who are we to say that great players like Xavi and Iniesta, like genuine greatest midfielders of all time in some, you know, in some people's eyes.
Sure.
You've got to be very careful when you talk about their best years being behind them and saying they're on their way down and stuff now. But it's hard to imagine those two players but performing that poorly in a Clásico. Of course they're going to be good enough to do it most weeks in La Liga and probably against the majority of Champions League teams, but we're talking about very fine margins, very top level, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, to a certain extent Chelsea. Are those players able to be relied upon at the top level? And if not, and I suspect they might not be able to be relied on, then Enrique's got a much bigger job on than he even thought, because he's got to bring players through and needs to do that pretty quick.
Even in the height of their success when a few years ago, obviously Xavi was younger, as they all were, that's how time works. He had more runners around him. I mean, Messi and
It might be because of someone like Alves is past his best as well. A few years ago, I saw a midfield player.
Maybe the Scottish Championship though.
I saw a midfield player called Sergi Samper play for Barcelona against Tottenham in at White Lane in the next year.
That's right. Yeah,
and he is about to sort of start to make his move, I think. And he looked, I mean, obviously I'm not no expert spotting young talent or anything, but he did look ridiculous. I mean, against Spurs in the next gen, they beat Spurs, I think, quite handily. I think it was 2-0 in the end, but they were much better.
What's his name?
Sergi Samper.
In by March.
He'll be manager of Forest by March. he will make the strange move of going straight into management.
Right.
In the Championship. No, but I promise you, I know it sounds ridiculous, but in that game,
it's like a film goes straight to DVD,
which they won easily, and he pulled the strings. It didn't even look like he ever bothered running. He was just walking around, and I wonder if he's going to be the next big thing to happen. I mean, I'm sure there are people listening here going, oh, we've known about him for ages, but just to remind
let them, Luke.
Does it make the decision to let Cesc Fabregas go seem a bit crazier?
But he was playing further forward for them anyway, wasn't he?
He was, but the general idea was that he would replace one of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It just didn't seem to really happen there. And
but I think people were expecting a bit too much, really, almost, because they were very vocal about the fact that the idea was for Fabregas to be there for ages and to sort of take on that mantle, and then they just didn't give him the chance to.
Jim, does your heart still beat for Fabregas?
I see Fabregas play, I remember that he signed a 5-year contract with Chelsea, right, which breaks my heart. But you know, like when you see a player that you're so used to supporting, you inherently want them to do well, and then you remember that they play for Chelsea, and you think, he's going to be there for 5 years. Can't he just go travelling or something? Like, can't he just stop playing football for a bit? Awful.
Can you not even support him individually in maybe just Champions League games?
I don't think I could bring myself to do that.
Alright. Well, I think you're right in saying about Cesc, because of course he was played further forward more often than not for Barcelona, but we see what job he's doing with Chelsea now, and he can obviously play deeper because he's doing it. Yeah. And you think, well, actually Barcelona could do a bit of help there, and it seems like a strange one.
Yeah.
Strange.
But I guess with the amount of money they spent on Suarez, they had to make some of it back somehow. It's good to see Isco play so well, because a lot was made of Bale not being there, and you forget what an amazing replacement they've got.
Isco's a great player. Any other team in the world, possible exception of Bayern Munich, He'd be playing every week. He's fantastic. I don't actually think he had his best game against Barcelona. I've seen him play better this season, but he's absolutely fantastic. I mean, against Liverpool, he just ran the show. He wasn't even trying, he ran the show.
Yeah, they were excellent against Liverpool.
You must rate Isco.
Yeah, I do, yeah. I know, I'm just sitting back enjoying the chat. You know? I like the listeners are, no doubt. Sevilla beat Villarreal 2-1. A couple of goals in the last couple of minutes there, which took Sevilla joint top. They're having a great
season.
Well,
yeah.
And actually, you may say, well, actually, La Liga isn't the Scotland of the South because it's really tight at the top. Well, it is in the Scottish Premiership as well, don't forget.
So, and Sevilla lost...
They often mirror each other.
Sevilla lost Rakitic.
Yes.
To Barcelona.
That's right.
And so Rakitic is maybe one who can come in there and do something. I forgot about him. He didn't start the game, did he, against Real Madrid?
No. Valencia and Atleti both won, and they're 2 points off the top as well. So it's quite nice and tight in Spain for a change. I mean, seldom do we see the top five separated by 2 points going into November. Valencia have just been taken over by, I believe, a Singaporean billionaire.
Right.
Which... on the face of it, I don't know anything about this guy, but on the face of it, Valencia, of course, we remember not that long ago reaching a couple of Champions League finals, massive club.
Won La Liga.
Yeah, exactly. They had a great side and they were a joy to watch in some of those Champions League games, and of course, finances and whatnot, they've had to scale down and sell a lot of their best players and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So if on the face of it, like I say, they've got a lot more money, which that surely they will do, then that's really good news for them, actually. Because
it's good news for the Liga in general.
Absolutely.
Yeah, although we thought that about Malaga.
True, yeah. True.
Yeah, well, that's why I say it on the face
of it. And you've got Santi Cazorla out of it, so no moaning.
Right, let's go out of Europe to India. More violence. The Indian Super League has banned Robert Pires for some fisticuffs with an opposition coach.
Robert Pires can do whatever he wants.
Pires plays, 40-year-old Robert Pires plays for FC Goa.
10 years older than Obafemi Martins.
Robert Pires can do whatever he wants, and that's why he took a dive against Pompey at Highbury in the under 18.
Absolutely, yeah.
Sickening.
Pires was punched at half time by Kolkata coach Antonio Habas, who himself has received a 4-match ban. The report didn't clarify what Pires' offence was.
Can I just quickly say, I don't advocate violence, especially not to hit horses, as we've seen. But after Robert Pires dived for that penalty against Portsmouth in the Invincible season.
Do you think this is what it is?
Well, I was just saying.
Retribution.
I'd take a 4-match ban for punching Pires. I would take it.
You're
take
angry
it.
About that. Portsmouth got a draw.
I wasn't at the time. We should have won.
Yeah. Football doesn't work like that, though, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Didn't, though. Sadly. Celebrating a draw at home to Portsmouth.
It was a better time.
From the past. Anyway.
Football doesn't work like that. No, it only works for the big teams.
That's right.
Man United, like you support.
And well, here we go. Yeah. Tildesley and I in the straight end.
You can't shut him up about that magical night in Barcelona when the mics are off.
We've got to go to Mexico. Yet more violence. Ladies and gentlemen, my goodness.
It's a violent show this week.
Atlas coach Tomas the Boy, he was fined and banned for punching a home fan in the VIP section. I love it how it says the VIP section. They're all equal.
Well, no, because it might be an influential sort of investor or something, or a sponsor or something like that. You know, it could be worse.
Could be, yeah.
All people are as equally important to me.
Some, like, some chairman's snotty
others,
son.
You would imagine that Tomas Boy was a little bit sorry after this.
It's a good name.
He said, "I'd do it again. What else was I meant to do? He called me a wimp, a chicken shit. Should I stay calm? Yeah. For every action, there is an equal opposite reaction. That's what you get, eh?
That's not an equal reaction.
Tomas the massive lad boy.
do you know what his full name is? Thomas Juan Boy.
Yes.
It's been noisy.
Thomas John Boy. John Boy. That's his name. Juan is John, I think. Yeah.
John Boy.
We like that. Yes, stop punching everybody, people.
There's a lot of punching this week.
But it's now time for your highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Hello. I'll probably try not to make this just a list of names. We got a lot of people supporting Birmingham asking not to be mentioned, which is a change from the usual. Normally it's people saying, "Oh, you didn't mention my team." Literally got about I'd say over 10 Birmingham fans saying, please don't talk about us this week.
Wow.
Too late. It's already happened. Finbar Bevan gets in touch. Says, my highlight of the week was Spurs conspiring to with the rest of the Cockney Mafia to keep Alan Pardew in a job. Hashtag Diggory is fuming. How's Diggory feel about it, Pete?
We're both on the same page on this one.
Yeah, fair enough. Edo O'Brien, Sam Allardyce beating the champions, likened himself to Fergie and Mourinho, bromancing Russell Brand. What a hat trick for the gravied one.
Actually, to be fair, he wasn't bromancing Russell Brand. Russell Brand came up and planted kisses on his face.
He had no choice. Will Donovan said, I saw a genuine, in the flesh, Sammy Amiobi goal. I then cheered my mum up while Spurs were being useless by telling her about the time him and Demba Ba got annoyed by a radio playing classical music in a cupboard. Remember that? That was when Sammy Amiobi thought there was someone was playing music down the street and wouldn't shut up, and it turned out to be a radio in the cupboard. In his own cupboard. Yeah. Jack React said Uwe Rosler getting clattered on the sideline. Did you see that?
No.
For Wigan. I think they won, actually.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah. He was probably upended.
It was a real heavy fall.
I forgot to say, in the West Ham game, was it Valencia fell into the Man City end? And when Amalfitano scored, he kind of jumped in there.
And he celebrated with the away fans.
But he sort of pulled him out there, but it did look like he was jumping in the away fans. Yeah, have some of that.
Yeah.
Julian Winston, we didn't talk about this, actually. We should have done. So, well done, Julian. He said, without doubt, Stephen Naismith smashing the ball off the bar and smacking Tom Heaton in the head when he's laying on the floor after just conceding Everton's third goal. Good aim. I love that because he can't feasibly get in trouble for a dissent there or for any sort of unsportsmanlike behaviour. Because he hit it off the bar and hit him on the head.
That's right.
So if he meant to do that, it's very, very good. What else have we got here? James Knight says, Harry Kane, striker, keeper, legend. We've got a couple from the forum here. Maverick says, I went to Lille and avoided all the trouble to see my first ever European away point in 5 games in 2 sports. 4 a.m. Train, Sheffield to Retford, Retford to London, King's Cross, Eurostar to Lille, get to the hotel, get changed, out for a few drinks, then the game. Way back was much easier. I'm absolutely knackered now. But I thought that's a bit about what football's all about, you know.
It's an adventure, isn't it?
What else have we got here? My highlight of the weekend, this is from Deakey, he said, my highlight of the weekend was Football Ramble Forum going down for maintenance on a Saturday afternoon, leaving me to resort to the Ramble Facebook page for all my football related chat, and subsequently forcing me to become real life friends with a fellow forumer and having an actual real life conversation. That's a good thing.
That's a beautiful
thing. You can put for maintenance in inverted commas all you like, pal, but that was actually what it was. We can't afford to pay a webmaster during the week.
I don't know what we'd be covering up on our own website.
My highlight, or one of them certainly, was Carlos Eduardo for Nice against Wijnjonk, scoring a glut. He got 5.
In
a 7-2 win.
What a brilliant return. And my highlight was probably Portsmouth building on a great midweek win against Stevenage by losing to Shrewsbury.
And who supports the Shrews?
Friend of the Ramble, Murray James.
I
got a text when literally as the final whistle went with about 45 Shrews. Just Shrews.
Yeah, he'll do that.
Yeah.
And I bet he wrote out each one
exactly.
That he did.
No copy and paste for Murray.
Nah, he enjoyed that. Jimmy, you got any highlights?
No.
Okay. Well, that's the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for rambling with us this week.
It feels like a long one. Was it a long one? Self-indulgent.
If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, and the Twitter is @footballramble, and the website is thefootballramble.com.
We have an announcement as well, don't we? Next week, myself, Luke and Marcus will be doing a live version of the popular TV show Nightmare. I promise you this is not a lie. We will actually be doing this. It's the Lyric Theatre on Shaftesbury Avenue. It's Monday the 3rd of November in London. Yes, and you can go to nightmarelive.com for tickets. That's obviously Nightmare with a K. I promise you this is not a made up thing. We are actually going to be guiding someone around a fictional realm.
If you do get tickets, can I please just stress that I have no idea what's going on?
Nightmare. We're old enough to remember Nightmare.
Exactly. Obviously we all thought we'd be really good at it. I've done it before. It is really hard.
I'd imagine.
I'm a very clumsy and impractical person, as you know, and that manifested itself in the fact that I kept walking this guy into like props and the walls, not even me moving.
I
don't have any memory of the show other than that it was sort of, I was vaguely terrified.
Marvellous. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
And cheerio from me, dears. before we leave Europe, should we go to Bulgaria?
Yes.
Shall we? To Sofia.
What's going on here? I would imagine it's just a kind of standard roundup of results if we're going to Bulgaria. Yeah. Nothing unusual or weird, right?
How did CSKA Sofia get on in the derby, Mark?
They beat Levski Sofia 3-0 in the Sofia derby on the weekend. During the match, CSKA Sofia manager Stoycho Mladenov, he was hit on the head by a snowball thrown by a Levski fan, and stopped laughing because he collapsed and the game had stopped for 7 minutes. Right?
Wow.
And the assistant manager informed the fourth official of the snowballs before the incident, but he was told that it was just normal behaviour.
I don't believe him.
Right. No, I don't.
Well, Mladenov,
unless there was like a rock in it.
Mladenov claimed afterwards he briefly lost consciousness. However, the Levski fans were angry
blinking.
And said he'd feigned this. So you can start laughing again.
I think he did fake it. I think he did fake it.
He's more than within his rights to do so. Don't throw things at the manager.
Donaldson, can you answer me this?
Don't throw things at the manager.
You must have been, as I was when you were a kid, a fan of wrapping up a dog shit in a snowball.
What?
Oh, my God.
I have never...
Yeah, as did I, you appalling
Luke
human.
Luke Moore.
Former school bully, Luke Moore.
No.
I would usually throw a snowball at a horse on the way.
What is it about northeastern people abusing horses?
Come on, cruelty to animals.
Yeah, worse.
No,
animal
no, no.
bully, Pete Donaldson.
That's not worse.
No. I'll tell you for why. Because every time I used to, every morning,
because he threw them at you.
I used to run across the school field, the field next to the school, and the horse always used to chase me, and I was shit scared of it.
A horse cannot manufacture a snowbull. It's got a cloven hoof. Mm. It's not fair.
Tried to bite me.
Hang on a minute. We talk about it's not fair.
If you got up a little bit earlier, you wouldn't have had to run across the field. You wouldn't have startled the horse, and then you wouldn't have had to punch it like all your Geordie brethren.
Going to school for a field with a horse in it. This is it's a fucking Beano.
Yeah. And that is genuine criticism from a man who was just talking about wrapping a shit up in a snowball.
Can I just say that was a weapon for me against the bullies, not a bullying weapon.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
That's going pretty.
Would you have thrown that at a horse with the dog jobbing?
Oh, I don't agree with cruelty to animals, full stop. Oh, you've gone too far there, Donaldson.
That was a terrible thing for me to do, but in retrospect, it did bite me a couple of times.
Can I ask you just a quick question? Genuinely, if you threw a snowball at a horse and it lost consciousness for 7 minutes, it's not a laughing matter. What would you do?
Would you accuse it of faking the... You'd accuse it of just faking it, like the Levski fans.
Yeah. Oh, come on, you silly arse.
Yeah,
I can remember back in the sort of early 90s, I think it would have been, there was a horrific set of crimes in this one part of Hampshire, and there was this guy, no one knew who he was, and he was known as the Hampshire Horse Mutilator. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I remember that.
No,
right, yeah.
Yeah,
so and there was talk about it was on Crime Watch and everything. I think when Crime Watch used to be sort of local TV as well, it was like on that, and there was, and they put a I know this is bad,
it's
but
horrendous.
Like, they put a photo fit up of who they thought it was, and it really,
Diggory.
Really looked like Bobby Davro.
That's a... Wouldn't surprise
did
you.
Did they ever catch the culprit and prove it wasn't?
I don't think they did catch. I don't think he was ever caught. No.
Oh, no.
Horrific crime, by the way. I don't want to make light of that. It's obviously horrendous. But all I'm saying is, I'll tell you.
I want to know more about this.
Snowballs are a gateway drug.
Yeah. They're a gateway weapon, if
it's
anything.
It's the thin end of the wedge.
Yeah. So, Pete, when was the last time you saw this horse? Because it sounds like if it bit you a few times, you basically had a feud with a horse.
Yeah.
It was a running battle for about 5 years.
Yeah. Is that why you moved to London?
Right, we're gonna have to move on. I mean, we don't have time to go through the rest of the Bulgaria results. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. You have to find out them in your own time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome,
I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.